Hello, this is Dr. David Friedman, host of To Your Good Health Radio. The topic of poop is an embarrassing subject for many, and for others, it's the butt of funny jokes. From the smiling poo emoji on our smartphone to the turd charts that go viral on social media, excrement is a part of our life. But your stool can also be a predictor of your health. The color, shape, and frequency are key factors in diagnosing many diseases, including colitis, irritable bowel disease, liver disease, and cancer. Today we have Dr. Marisol Tejero, author of the book, Oh Shit. She's here to help us get to the bottom of things. Don't go anywhere. It all starts now.
It's To Your Good Health Radio with number one best-selling author and renowned wellness expert, Dr. David Friedman, changing lives just for the health of it.
Our next guest is a renowned doctor of naturopathy and expert on gut health. Crowned the Queen of Thrones for over 15 years, she has educated healthcare practitioners and thousands of patients on how to improve their gut and poop better. Her new book is aptly titled, Oh Shit, which is the number one topic that we're going to talk about today, or I should say the number two topic. She's on a mission, and it's important for all of us to join her movement. Welcome to the show, Dr. Marisol.
Hi, Dr. David. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
It's great to have such an aspiring guest on the show to shoot the shit with. These puns are getting out of control.
Oh, that's the thing. I know. Since I started my shitty career, it's just difficult to keep it clean. But that's okay.
So tell us what motivated you to write this book. What was the motivation?
The funny thing is that I've been in practice for so long now, and the one question that always astounds patients when they walk in is when I ask them my number one all-time question, which is, are you a hyperwiper? Patients stare at me as though I've gone crazy, I'm mad, I'm a witch doctor, I'm a doctor from another planet. And I often go into my explanation about what it means to be a hyperwiper. And it comes down to such a very natural fact about our gut, is that we should never wipe more than once. And when we wipe once, the paper should be clean. If you have to wipe more times and there's a lot of sticky poo on your paper, what ends up happening is that you are having either inflammation within your gut, food sensitivities, you might be having a bad microbiome, the gut bugs aren't healthy in your gut. So this is the number one key indicator for me with my patients, and it always astounds them so much. So I just decided, you know, with so many people dealing with irritable bowel syndrome and every single patient reacting this way to me and my being known as the Queen of Thrones, how can I not but deliver literally a book called Oh Shit about this subject, right? So important.
That's great. You know, I had a patient ask me a couple of weeks ago if two bowel movements a day was okay. And I told her, yeah, two bowel movements was okay, but three per day would be better. And she said, Dr. Yeah. Friedman, I was asking if two bowel movements per week was okay. And for for those listening that can relate to my patient and poop in a week, what they really should be eliminating in a day, share why this is unhealthy.
Yeah, the problem with the gut is that, like anything, it's like our garbage, right? The bowels are all the garbage that's coming out of our body. It's all the metabolic processes, all the extra hormones, all the bad cholesterol, the toxins that we intake daily from our food or we breathe in. And we really don't want those things in our body for very long. We basically need to be a really optimized, you know, processing system. So they come in one way and they're out the other, literally. The problem is if it stays within your system for more than a 24-hour period, what happens is that gives it a lot more time to cause a lot more damage. Right? It's kind of like, a big machine gun. If you keep on having that machine gun shooting at you for an hour, you know, there'll be damage. But if you have that machine gun shooting at you for about 24 hours, there'll be a lot more damage. So we really want to get those things out of the body, those things that can be really nauseating and harmful to the system. And the body, the thing with the body is that when things don't move out, the body will find a way to recirculate it and then package it in a place where it won't cause harm. And for a lot of people, that might mean, you know, extra weight, or they might have cysts developing in different places. And for other people, more extremes, like things like cancers may be developing. So it's really, really important. And one of the key things for optimal health is truly to make sure that you are an optimal cleaning and poop eliminating machine.
Right. So the magic question is, how many bowel movements a day should we have?
That's a great question. So I absolutely love to, for us all listeners, to refer to our own body as a way to measure this. So if you take your arm, your forearm, and you go look from your elbow all the way to your wrist, So that is the size of the very perfect poo. So that's what you should be eliminating in a day.
Say that again? Now, from the wrist to the elbow?
Yeah, seriously. Wow. So from the wrist to the elbow. So that is actually the length of your lower descending colon. So that should be the amount of food, the amount of fluids and fibers all mixed together that had, you know, descended in your lower descending colon, and that should be what you eliminate regularly. Now, David, for some people, of course, you know, it'll be 2 times a day or 3 times a day because they'll be very similar to, you know, nature's best friend, the dog. Right. You know, my little puppy dog, she'll eat and then she'll poop right away. Right. Other people are just, their bodies are in a different habit and they'll eliminate that mass amount in a one sitting, you know, in the morning, first thing in the morning. And you know when you have had that perfect poo because you always astound yourself because you'll look into the toilet and it would have felt like nothing has come out. You'll wipe once, it'll be absolutely clean, and you'll look into the toilet and you'll be just astounded by the mass that came out of your body. And those are the very perfect poos. And if you look at that and you kind of track back in your health what you ate over a 24-hour period, you'll know that the things that you consumed were very optimal and good for you.
Awesome. Neat, huh? Yeah, that's interesting. And what about the reverse problem? Someone that goes to the bathroom too many times per day. How much is too much and when does it become something we need to be concerned about?
Yeah. So if the stool is not formed like a, you know, a super sausage, a good German sausage, if it's not formed and it's always loose and you see a lot of white mucus within the bowel, within the toilet bowl or the throne, as I like to call it, mm-hmm. or you're going, you know, more than 4 to 5 times per day, you know, that becomes an issue because it is likely that you are not absorbing your vitamins, minerals, and all the good things from your food that you should be taking into your body. And your body is likely very highly stressed. And this happens a lot with an irritable bowel, especially the diarrhea type, where there's a high level of stress within the system, and that doesn't allow the bowel to function appropriately. So the big problem with that is that, of course, you know, you're going to be malnourished, and you're going to feel more and more stressed as you go because you require nutrients in order to reduce the stress, in order to improve how you're going to the bathroom. So, you know, it really becomes a vicious cycle, and you really need to nip it in the butt. And in order to fix that, you really find out what is stressing your gut. Is it food? Is it emotional stressors? Because the thing with the gut is the gut doesn't realize whether it's an emotional stressor from food or from an emotion. You know, you've maybe had a recent breakup or a friend has caused you problems or there's an issue with a coworker at work. The body doesn't know, the gut doesn't know whether it's a friend or a food. So we really have to be cautious about that because anxiety and stress will really impact how your body's going to the bathroom.
Right. And, you know, you bring up quite a few points as we're talking about, you know, visualizing the poop before you flush. And a lot of people don't do that. And, you know, the size, yeah. color, and shape could be vital information about our health. And, you know, it's people say gross, I don't want to look at it, but it could save their life. Yeah. Could it not by seeing something?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I always say this is my biggest thing to patients. And, you know, often the first visit, they really don't have a clue what their poo may look like. So I always say, you know, you poo and then you peek. That's the rule. Poo and peek. Poo and peek. Always
peek-a-poo. Peek-a-poo.
Remember to do that, everybody. Peek-a-poo.
Peek-a-poo. You can use that.
Exactly. It's just so important, you know, because there's some really big red flags that can be, you know, an emergent medical situation. You know, if there's a lot of blood in your stools, that could be significant for an ulcerative cancer, colitis, perhaps possibly even a cancer, a Crohn's, lots of mucus as well too can be significant for some problems. You know, another thing is if your stool is always very tiny, like thin roped, you know, that could be a sign of a mass growing in your colon. So if you don't look, you don't know what's going on with your body. And really, it is, you know, as my little doggy's tail is her mood-o-meter, you know, your poo is your poo-o-meter. Like it really right. tells you how your health is doing, you know? Poo is your health-o-meter. What is going on with your body? Are you digesting your food well? Is your level of stress good? You know, so we really have to, honestly, peek-a-poo. I love that, David.
You can use it. And one thing I noticed in my practice is a lot of my patients are constipated because they don't drink enough. They're dehydrated. Share why our water consumption can have a major effect on our bowel movements.
Absolutely. So water is the universal solvent And, you know, it's the universal lubricant as well, too. And water really helps. A hydrated colon is easily able to move the mass of food through the body. It also mixes with all the fibers and all the food and the mass that you've intaken and creates that volume. And that volume within the gut actually communicates to the second brain, which is called the enteric nervous system. So that's the brain. The gut has its very own brain. Now, that brain signals the gut to move and you know, move out that stool and get it out. So the water begins first by hydrating, then creating mass, a bigger mass within the gut, which will cause pressure, and that stimulates the gut brain to really release the mass that's within the gut. So it's super, super important to hydrate, you know, not only to have clean, healthy, fresh skin and all that great stuff that water does, make you feel more alert and have more energy, but it truly is a lubricant that makes our stools come out and pushes all that mass out of our system. So we do really have to hydrate, focus on good hydration.
Definitely do. I know I interview a lot of guests and there's such a mixed opinion when it comes to coffee consumption. Some say it irritates our gut and others say it keeps us regular. What's your opinion on Java?
So, you know, a great question. And actually, there's a really good research study that demonstrates the difference. What is the key with coffees? I think a lot of people are used to it and they've accommodated their colons to it. So for them, it's actually a mild irritant or a stressor, which makes them go to the bathroom. But the study itself it noticed that hot water, coffee, and nicotine, they wanted to see if it would improve bowel tone and, you know, a tendency to go to the bathroom. And what ended up happening, that it really had nothing to do with the coffee component, it actually had to do with the hot liquid component that improved going to the bathroom. So both the hot water and the coffee worked to improve colon tone, but the nicotine did not. So coffee itself has a component that will stress the colon out, and that could have a component to make it go to the bathroom, no different than that patient who has an irritable bowel of the anxiety type, right? The coffee will stress and make you go to the bathroom, but it's the hot water component that will also make you go to the bathroom. So I say instead of having a coffee, switch to green tea, which is healthier for your system anyways, has a lot more antioxidants than coffee does, doesn't have as much of a stress component that will irritate the system, and will give you that hot water that helps to move the bowel.
Good information. So, so it's the hot water that's actually helping without the caffeine bombardment. I know with, you know, people that have irritable bowel or they have, you know, some digestive difficulties, that coffee can agitate and irritate it and give them, you know, gas and so forth.
Yeah, and the stress component is actually really, really important because a lot of us don't realize that, and a lot of times it's the unspoken thing out there in medicine and in cleansing areas. Our detoxification and natural cleansing functions that are so important in this, you know, in this era of industrialization with all the chemicals and things that we're exposed to these days, with stress within our system and those caused by caffeine that increases our cortisol, that will actually inhibit all of our cleansing and detoxification processes, which further impacts our ability long-term to have really good healthy bowel movement. So super important factor there too.
Got it. And another big controversial topic is alcohol. Good or bad for the colon?
So, in my opinion, alcohol, as fun as it can be, there's some great alcohols out there that I do recommend for patients. Things like red wine, especially the Pinot Noir variety because of its high resveratrol component and higher antioxidants than other red wines, as well as tequila because it is known to improve gut bacteria. However, so besides those having good components to them, alcohol in general is a fermentation product. And oftentimes, if we overconsume fermented products, what'll happen to certain people who are susceptible is that will increase histamine production in their gut. Histamine, David, I'd like the listeners to know that histamine is what will cause a poison ivy reaction on their skin or you know, an acute reaction. You know, they'll get hives all over their system. The same thing will happen within the gut, a hive-like reaction when you over-consume fermented foods. And when this will happen, what will happen is that this will cause inflammation and irritation to the gut. So in the long run, this could cause damage to the gut. The other thing with having too much fermented foods and too many high sugar foods, which alcohol is part of that little category, is that our own bodies, if we don't have really good gut microbiome or the good gut bugs living in there, is that we can become our own fermentation factory and actually end up creating our own amount of alcohol. So on top of the alcohol that we're consuming, we can even create more alcohol. So this, in terms of overall toxic load to our system, can really put our bodies into a big mess. So I'm a believer that a little bit in moderation is good of alcohol, but having too much really can start to create more inflammation within our gut and cause us to have more of an alcohol load in our system and then impact our long-term cleansing and detoxification processes. So, yeah. You know, a little bit of it, but not too much.
Yeah. And, you know, you bring up wine as being healthy, but I would imagine the hard liquor, man, you put that in your mouth, it burns your mouth, it burns your throat. What's it doing to your colon and stomach? I mean, that's caustic.
Exactly. I'm a big believer that if it was in the Bible, it might be okay. Right. And so, you know, wine's in the Bible. So I say a little bit of red wine should be okay.
That makes sense. Yeah. Well, in your opinion, now we talked about the two controversial beverages there. What's the best type of diet for colon health? We've got the paleo, the plant-based. Is it somewhere in the middle? What do you advocate?
I really do advocate somewhere in the middle. You know, I'm a big believer of, you know, switching over from coffee to green tea and really going to a lot of green leafy vegetables, making sure we really, really load up on all those vegetables on our plate. And then, you know, having a decent amount of healthy protein. So hopefully, you know, it's going to be free range, organic, is the best quality that you can absolutely find. And then having a lot of healthy oils in our diet. You know, of course, always all of our oils should be organic in a glass bottle, and then limiting the amount of starches that we consume. So not overdoing it on the potatoes, the sweet potatoes, even the legumes. As healthy as sometimes the legumes can be, in an irritated gut, sometimes the legumes can irritate the gut a little bit more. So really focusing on the green leafy brassica family vegetables, all those green vegetables that have a lot of antioxidants, anti-cancer components, and then a little bit of healthy meat, and then some good healthy fats. So definitely a little bridge between healthy paleo and, you know, a plant-based diet.
Right. And when you advocate meat, are you kind of low on the totem pole? Would be the red meat is the last recommendation? And go for the chicken
actually,
and fish
for
more?
Actually, for me, it's more pork on the last on the totem pole.
Okay.
More so because pork is so close to human tissue, right, and just can cause a bit of an autoimmune reaction for some people. And that and tuna fish, because tuna fish is heavy loaded with mercury. So just we're trying to keep the mercury has an effect that it can help to increase the overgrowth of bad yeast in our system. And then pork, that autoimmune reactivity can just cause a lot of inflammation in the gut. And for people who have celiacs or Crohn's, that can just really flare things up for them. So we keep pork as definitely and tuna at the bottom of the totem pole.
Right.
And then our next favorite is, of course, the fowls, right? So we really love chicken, turkey. Then we'll have, you know, fishes that tend to be the least contaminated, right? Like cod, always wild, salmon, as least contaminated as you can find them. And then wild game, of course, and then beef. Yeah, so that's kind of how we work with them. So favorite is poultry, fish, and then, of course, we go into wild game, and then the beef from there.
It's interesting.
Since
this is a no-holds-barred segment here, which is everything out in the open, I can share something that I wouldn't share on other segments. But when I was researching all the food groups, the pork, you mentioned about the DNA being so similar, and of course, they've actually interviewed cannibals and found out that pork tastes a lot like human. It's the closest to the taste of human. It's very close.
Yeah, and it doesn't surprise me. You know, we use insulin from the pig for our diabetics. That was how it was originally found,
right.
You know, and it's true. Like, apparently, this is hearsay within the naturopathic community. I've yet to found really solid research that documents this, but they say, you know, fish takes about an hour to two to digest in the human system.
Yep.
Fowl will take maybe 2 to 3 hours. The red and wild meat will take somewhere between, you know, 4 to 5 hours to digest. And, you know, pork will take like a staggering 8 to 9 hours simply because, you know, the body identifies it and then kind of isn't sure whether it should digest it or not. And, you know, I know for myself, and I'm sure lots of the listeners can agree, and you too, David, is that, you know, when you eat pork, it feels heavy in your system, right? So
right. It
probably just sits there and your body isn't quite sure what to do with it because it doesn't necessarily want to digest it. Great research.
Yeah. Tell me your opinion on grains. That's another one that so many experts say get off of. But of course, for 30 years, we've heard they're great for the colon health, that it helps digestion. What's the say on grains?
Yeah. So we're such in a dichotomy right now with the grains out there. I definitely like to say, very limit the grains just because they tend to be a lot more inflammatory. Wheat, of course, we know they're inflammatory. Rice, we also get into the conundrum. It can be loaded with heavy metals. So we really try to limit the amount of grains that people consume. We do like the fibers that grains will create. As an example, brown rice fiber is excellent to help with colon health. So how do you mediate eating a low grain diet and having a good bowel? I just say try to limit it. Go for grains that are a lot, or grains that kind of are more seeds, such as quinoa. So we really recommend a lot of our patients to consume quinoa and amaranth because they're more considered as seeds. So they tend to have less irritants, less toxins, less pollutants, less inflammatory. And then, with moderation, consume those grains, but don't overdo them. And if it's a food allergen, really, if you're having problems within your gut, you really need to be cognizant and aware to avoid those for a good period of time so that your gut can heal.
Good info. Let me ask you this about the epidemic of gut disorders. I mean, there's so much food intolerance, irritable bowel, ulcerative colitis, Crohn's now than ever in history. You are the grand poobah, and there's another pun intended there. Share with us what's your opinion and what's causing so many people's guts to be unhealthy lately. What's going on?
Yeah, great question. So I think it's multiple answers on this one, but I think number one, I think overall in our society, we just have such a higher level of stress. And like whether it's like we're moms who are working in the workforce plus we have children and we're starting up a new business as an example, so just such a high level of stress, or men in the same situation, right? Trying to pay for multiple homes, we all have this high level of stress and a high level to succeed, which before we had a lot simpler lives. So that level of stress really has an impact on our gut, because our gut really is, it's not only how we digest food, but it's really how we digest our lives, right? So we feel all the stress within our gut. Think of, butterflies in our belly. So that's number one. Number two, I think the amount to add to our stressors that we have on our system is environmental toxins. There are just so many environmental toxins that are laden within our food. And even if we are consuming organic food, there still is an amount. It isn't completely free of pesticides or chemicals. It just has less of an amount than conventional produce does, So we're still intaking it. And outside of our food, we're intaking it through our water. We're intaking it through how we breathe. So all that needs to be processed and then eliminated out the colon. So the colon unfortunately gets exposed to all of those toxicants. And then after that, besides the toxicants, I really feel the modification that is being done to our food is impacting us as well too, because our guts have evolved, from the Paleolithic era to be able to recognize foods in a certain way. How many times have I had patients, go on a trip to Europe and say, in Canada, you tell me to stay away from wheat and dairy and I stay away from it and I feel better. In Europe, I'll eat so much of it and there's no problem. And a lot of that is because in Europe, they don't genetically modify their food the way that our food is genetically modified here in North America. So this is a big problem and a big concern, because, the gut will see these foods that are genetically modified. They won't really know what to do with them. It can't really process them properly. And suddenly, it's like, whoa, halt the processes. So, we get constipated, bloated, inflamed, not feeling well in our gut. So these are the big issues that are occurring, I think, today in our day society, which is why, I'd have to say probably 90 to 95% of my patients will walk in with a condition and it'll be associated with a gut disorder. So I'm always, and that's why I've become the Queen of Thrones, because I'm always healing the gut first to get them better.
Awesome stuff. So we covered pretty much food. We've covered the beverages. And one thing I can't let you go before we bring up is probiotics. Yeah. Do they aid in healthy bowel movements, or are they a waste of time?
I think probiotics are definitely a key. I think, though, that we need to also put them in part of a protocol, because a lot of times if we're taking probiotics, many of us need to take probiotics for our entire lives, and this is true because of the genetic modified food, it is tough to really keep that good gut microbiome healthy. But the other thing is that if you have a war down there, it's really hard to think that just one pill a day is really going to change substantially your entire gut lining and the gut bugs that are within that. So I really am a big component of and promoter of doing things and therapies that are going to help to change your gut microbiome. And two things that will help that in a clinic from a clinical perspective are colon hydrotherapy. So colon hydrotherapy really helps to reset the gut microbiome because it's almost like a shower for your intestines, mm-hmm. right? It'll help to hydrate, but it'll also help to wash off the bad bacteria. So when you're taking in your probiotics, that'll help to repopulate. And the other thing is a timed and tested true naturopathic therapy called the castor oil pack. Because castor oil packs are really, really, really effective at reducing inflammation within the gut, putting the system into a relaxed parasympathetic, a relaxed state, which therefore you can heal. And there's even some evidence now showing that castor oil can potentially be used as a biofilm breaker. So it'll actually break down the biofilm that the bad gut bugs are using, which is kind of like their barrier that prevents right. the good gut bugs from coming in. So I think that probiotics are definitely essential for people, but that they don't want to necessarily for a long time, and especially if they're having real gut problems, do them alone, that they're going to need to either do colon hydrotherapy or combine that with castor oil packs.
Great information. I have to say, I thought that I would enjoy talking with you today, but it just turned out to be a really crappy interview. Just when
I know. I feel so shitty. I'm so sorry.
The crappiest interview I've ever had. Hands down. That's
awesome.
Great.
I know. That's the thing. You know, so many people, I love it. Whenever they hear that I'm the Queen of Thrones, you know, they're always like, wow, how on earth did you get that? Right? And I'm like, you know, well, it's a shitty business, but somebody has to take ownership of it, right? And to tell you the truth, you know, I grew up in a Spanish household, and, you know, my mom was just the best. Like, she would, from the time we were children, we were always looking at each other's poos, right? My mom would call us right. into the bathroom, and she'd be explaining, like, what it meant. So for us, like, we just grew up with it, and I just couldn't believe, you know, I guess when out there here in North America, when my mom came over and we were here in school, how people didn't talk about poo, right? And they just didn't know what their poo looked like. So I was meant to be a naturopath, and I'm very positive that I'm meant to make sure that I'm in a billion bathrooms by 2020 and really get the message out there of how to poo properly for ultimate health, because we all need to know that. This is the number one thing that can change our health.
That's great. Power of the poo. Appreciate you being here. Definitely
yeah.
come back and share your internal knowledge with us again. That's great. Hey, to get your copy of Dr. Marisol's book, Oh Shit, go to drmarisol.com, and you can learn more about her clinic, Sanus Health, at sanus.ca. And be sure to check out her blog post and videos and all the latest healthful information. You can follow her on Twitter and Facebook at Dr. Marisol, Queen of Thrones. And for my daily health tweets and Facebook posts, follow me at Dr. David Friedman. If you heard something today that you would love to share with someone they needed to hear but just didn't get to hear this podcast, send them a link to this podcast. It's available at toyourgoodhealthradio.com, and you can peruse our podcast library and share segments of interest with friends, family, coworkers, and on social media. This information is too important to keep to yourself. You can also subscribe to our podcast on iHeartRadio and iTunes. More to come. Stay tuned and stay well.